A few summers ago, my wife Debbie and I were invited to use my aunt and uncle's cabin on Salt Spring Island for a vacation when they were away. We arrived in the evening, and they had left the door unlocked for us because they were already gone. I found the key inside on the counter, along with a note that said, "This key unlocks the padlock, but not the lock on the doorknob. So don't lock the doorknob." Well, I neglected to tell Debbie about the note, and you can probably see where this is going. After we brought our luggage inside, and we were about to go out for dinner, I was outside and I saw Debbie leave the house and close the door behind her. I sheepishly said, "You didn't lock the doorknob, did you?" Knowing full well that I should have told her about the note. Well, Debbie is a responsible city girl, so her natural instinct is to make sure every possible lock is secure. I panicked. You know that feeling when your heart sinks down into your stomach? I began frantically running around the house trying to see if I could spot an open window somewhere. I started scaling walls to try to make my way back inside the house, to no avail. It can be my natural instinct sometimes to freak out and to frantically try to fix things when I'm in trouble. But as I was scrambling, Debbie was calm and still. There had already been a plan formulating in her mind. We went into town to get cell phone reception, called her brother to look up a local locksmith for us, and eventually we got back in the house, although I think dinner was late and, you know, we were tired and hungry. It can be very difficult sometimes to be still when we are in times of trouble. But Psalm 46 says that God tells us to be still and know that I am God. This psalm tells us that God is with us in times of trouble. So if you would like to open up your Bibles, in the Pew Bibles, Psalm 46 is on page 845, and it may also be on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for preserving these ancient words, which are still so powerful today. We ask that you open our ears to hear what you have to say to us, that you soften our hearts to love you more, and that you give us courage to live in light of your word. Amen. Psalm 46 has one command, one call to response. Be still and know that I am God. The rest of the psalm gives reasons to respond in faith to this command. There are three things that the psalm reminds us about God which enable us to be still. We can be still because God is our refuge, because God is our fortress, and because God is with us. So first, we can be still because God is our refuge. We don't often use the word refuge in everyday conversation. But it's also not completely obscure. A related word that we hear much more often is refugee. And perhaps some of you may have met a refugee who has fled to Canada for protection. Perhaps some people here may have even experienced that personally. At least I'm sure you've heard in the news about the many Syrian refugees who have fled their war-torn country. Some churches are sponsoring refugees to help them get settled in and find peace and refuge here. I recently heard that the refugee family my church is sponsoring has felt so loved and cared for by the church, and it has sensed that God has been with them, that they have decided to follow Jesus. They left a place of chaos and unrest, and they have found rest and refuge here. A refuge is a place of shelter, of protection, of safety. A refuge is the place you run to when you are under threat and there is nowhere else to go. Do you feel like you need a refuge? To say that God is our refuge assumes that we are under threat, that the world is a dangerous place, and that we need protection. But we live in a pretty safe city here in Vancouver, relatively. Life can be quite comfortable here. Sure, there is war and chaos around the world, but it can seem far away, and sometimes we feel hardly affected by it. Well, first I should say that we can be praying for our brothers and sisters who are under threat physically. But also, this psalm speaks to us because we never know when trouble may strike. It might not be a physical threat for us, but what if your livelihood is taken away? What if your loved ones are heading down a wrong path? What if your sense of purpose in life comes into question? Sometimes it feels like we are surrounded by trouble. Well, Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge in the midst of trouble. This psalm portrays trouble on every side, from political unrest to natural disaster. There is a series of poetic parallels that gives the image of being surrounded by trouble. Waters roar on one side, and nations are in uproar on the other. And in the Hebrew, it's actually the same word, roar and roar. Mountains fall on one side, and kingdoms fall on the other. There is trouble on every side, but these troubles are no match for God. When waters roar and nations are in uproar, God lifts his voice. And God's voice is more powerful than the roaring seas, for he brought them into being. His voice can separate the waters and make dry ground appear. His voice can calm the stormy sea. This psalm also says that while mountains fall and kingdoms fall, the city of God will not fall. Every kingdom and empire that has ever risen up has eventually fallen. Egypt, Babylon, and Rome were all world-dominating powers at one day. They seemed like an insurmountable threat to the people of God. What hope would you have in fighting against Pharaoh or Caesar? Your only hope would be to turn to God as your refuge, to seek safety in the city of God. Even though nations are in uproar and empires rise up, they are no match for God. Kingdoms fall. The only kingdom that endures is the kingdom of God. For thousands of years, there have been people who acknowledged that God is the King of the universe. And one day, every knee will bow to our King. One day, God's enduring kingdom will cover the earth in its fullness, and there will be peace and joy instead of chaos and unrest. There will be a river of life instead of roaring seas. Is there trouble surrounding you? Is there trouble surrounding the people you love? seek safety in the Lord, for God is our refuge. His voice can calm the roaring sea. His kingdom will endure. In the midst of trouble, hear God say to you, be still and know that I am God. This idea of being still and trusting in God when surrounded by trouble reminds me of the climactic moment of salvation in the book of Exodus. Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, but then they find themselves trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. Waters roar on one side, and a nation is in uproar on the other. They are surrounded by trouble. But then, in Exodus 14, verses 13 to 14, Moses says to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Listen to that last line again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I hear that echoing throughout Psalm 46. Be still. God will fight for you. So we have seen first that we can be still because God is our refuge. Now, secondly, we can be still because God is our fortress. This psalm has some militaristic language in it. Now, this might not resonate very well with a peace-loving people like us. Can God the warrior be one and the same with the Prince of Peace? How do we make sense of this? I find it helpful to remember that ultimately it is a spiritual battle that God is fighting. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 12, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." God is fighting a spiritual battle. In Psalm 46, God is portrayed as a mighty warrior who defeats the enemy. There is an ironic image of God destroying destructive forces. God breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. God is not looking for a fight. He is looking to stop the fighting. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. And this is interesting. The word translated as cease is related to the Hebrew word Sabbath, which means rest. God makes wars rest. When there is trouble on every side, when we are in the midst of uproar and unrest, God fights to bring rest and peace. As God the warrior fights the enemy, he also defends us like a fortress. In the ancient world, fortresses were built along borders and trade routes to protect against enemy attack. They were used for military defense. Fortresses had thick walls, tall towers, and strong gates so that they could not be easily broken into. So this metaphor of God as our fortress means God is strong. You can't break him. As the children's song says, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." Sometimes adults need to learn from children's songs. After all, we are called to have faith like a child. Do we really believe that God is strong and mighty? Do we really believe there is nothing God cannot do? Psalm 46 reminds us of this truth. God is our fortress. He is strong. The battle is his, not ours. God will fight for us. God will defend us. And we know that Jesus has already won the ultimate victory, The greatest enemies, sin and death, have been conquered and defeated by Christ. There is nothing our God cannot do. So turn to the Lord as your fortress. Hear the Lord say to you when you are surrounded by enemies, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, this doesn't mean that we should be completely passive. If we think back to that Exodus moment, Moses still had to raise his staff and stretch out his arm, but it was God who divided the waters. The Israelites still had to move forward, but God made dry ground appear, and God swept the enemy into the sea. We are called to small acts of faithfulness. We participate in God's work of salvation, but it is ultimately God's work. We need to trust Him to fight the battle and to be our fortress. What are you battling right now? What enemy surrounds you? Whether there is sin or sickness or relational conflict or some substantial loss, whatever it might be, God is fighting for you. You are not in this alone. God is your fortress. Be still and know that He is God. So we have seen that we can be still, firstly, because God is our refuge, and secondly, because God is our fortress. Now, finally, we can be still because God is with us. In times of trouble, the good news is that God is with us. We do not face the troubles of this life alone. The heart of the gospel is that God is with us. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and after Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is the presence of God, always with us, 24/7. God is with us. I am often asked to pray for people in challenging times, whether they are suffering from an illness or struggling in their marriage or whatever it might be. Often their struggles seem too great. I can be intimidated and not know what to pray. Sometimes I'm nervous because I neither want to promise a miracle that I can't guarantee, nor do I want to leave the person feeling hopeless. In those times, I find myself praying that this person would know the presence of God. Maybe this prayer sounds too simple, but I find that it gives people hope. It makes all the difference in the world to know that God is with us, that God is for us, that God goes before us, He fights the battle, and He has already won the final victory. In this life, we may face many troubles, but God is with us every step of the way. That gives us courage to face the day. It gives us hope that one day God's enduring kingdom of peace will cover the earth, and we can already live into that reality today. I recently received an email with a prayer request. This woman gave quite a few details explaining her situation, but basically her brother attempted suicide. The good news is that he survived, but the struggle continues. The woman said that there was a major spiritual battle for her brother's life, but that God held him in His grip. Later, her brother told her that he also had a nightmare in which someone was trying to suffocate him. Apparently, her brother is not the religious type, but he believed that this was more than a nightmare, that this was a spiritual attack. Meanwhile, this woman's mother has been on a spiritual journey, but she is not yet committed to following Jesus. So this woman was requesting prayer for both her brother and her mom. After reading this email, I prayed, and at first, not knowing what to pray, I turned to Psalm 46 to be my guide. I prayed that in the midst of trouble, God would be their refuge and strength. I prayed that God would protect this family, I thanked God for protecting this young man's life when he tried to commit suicide. And I prayed that God would be his fortress, that God would fight the enemy for him. I prayed that this family would sense God's presence and that they might be still and know that the Lord is God. A few days later, I received another email celebrating that this woman's mother has decided to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can continue to pray for her brother, and we can continue to let this psalm and other psalms guide our prayers. As St. Athanasius pointed out, most scripture speaks to us, but the psalms speak for us. So may this ancient prayer book teach us how to pray. And may we be still and know that God is our refuge, God is our fortress, and God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always with us. It is not good for us to be alone. We are made for communion with you and with our fellow human beings. We thank you that you fight for us. The battle is yours, and you are victorious. Lord, we also thank you that when we are surrounded by trouble, you are our refuge. You are the one we turn to when there is nowhere else to go. So teach us to be still. Keep us from trying to face our troubles alone. Prevent us from fighting our battles without you. Help us to trust you to be God. Amen.